It was hard for me to focus on the baby Jesus. That was just, it's hard for me to relate because I understand who God is. I totally, and today I'm going to touch upon that, but it's hard for me to relate. And that's what made Christmas a little bit difficult for me. But I tell you, we're in a season in which God is just doing some amazing things. He really, really is doing some amazing things. Things that, you know, the seeds that people planted a while back, we're starting to see the harvest. And that's just so exciting to me. And I believe we're going to see that harvest even in this season. That people that you've been praying for, that this is the season in which they will say yes. That people that have said no and no and no, that this is the season when you approach them that they will say yes. So it's kind of an exciting time. So we want to make the most of that. You know, when it in our day, when there's an announcement made, especially on social media, a lot of times it's kind of cryptic, especially when it comes to like pregnancy. When people post something on Facebook, I don't know why they don't tell you, I am pregnant and I'm going to have a boy. No one does that anymore. It's kind of cryptic. And even my own sister-in-law, she posted a picture of my brother and it said something about a mini me. And I'm like, what? I'm trying to figure out, what is she saying? See, because you never want to guess. You never want to guess, oh, you're pregnant. No, I'm not. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if you've ever done that mistake before. I have. You'll never make that mistake again, right? Never, never, never make that mistake twice. It's just you feel like crawling under a rock if you make that mistake. So, but people are doing that online all the time. So I text my brother. I'm like, whoa, I saw this on Facebook. What's up? And he said, yeah, you know, she's 6 weeks pregnant and we're going to have a boy. I mean, but you know, when Jesus made an announcement, when the Father made an announcement about his boy being born, it wasn't cryptic. He used prophets and it was very clear. It was very clear that it was going to be a boy. It was very clear, not just any boy, not just any boy, but this boy would be a royal birth. He would be a king. He would be a king of a spiritual kingdom that will turn the world upside down. And he used prophets to proclaim that. And one of the prophets that we're going to look at is really in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet that prophesied in the area of Judah. At this time, really Israel was divided into two sections. The northern section was really Israel, known by Israel, 10 tribes. The southern section, 2 tribes, known as Judah. And that also included Jerusalem. And really, Isaiah prophesied, for the most part, to the area of Judah. And so he prophesied about almost 700 years before Christ is born. So this prophecy regarding this birth is almost 700 years before it actually comes to fruition. And so he's going to say there is going to be this birth, right? And this is a time during oppression. What was going on in this time is the Assyrian kingdom was rising up, threatening other people, and Judah felt threatened during this time. And so it's during this time that the Lord really says this is what's up ahead. And the Lord always likes to give plenty of notice. He gives plenty of notice because he wants his people to make the changes that they need to in their lives. And that's when you come to church, I know that the Lord will sometimes speak to you about, you know, you need to correct this in your life or you need to correct that in your life. Well, may you heed that? See, you know it's him because it's conviction as opposed to condemnation. And so sure enough, he, about 700 years before, while there's this oppression and this challenge going on in Judah, and I'm sure the people are feeling a little bit kind of oppressed, he says, I have a plan for mankind. In fact, I have a plan for a government. And that plan is Messiah. That plan is the anointed one that I'm going to send. And so we get to Isaiah 9:6, and we read this prophecy. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Really, we got to understand that names reveal something. Names reveal something, especially in the Old Testament. And so it reveals the character of God. It reveals the nature of God. It reveals really the attributes of God. And that's what we're going to read. You know, it's kind of interesting. There's just kind of a controversy or discussion about whether this portion of scripture was really meant for a king, specifically King Hezekiah. Because sometimes you have scripture that is fulfilled what they call a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. But if you look at the names, once again, I don't know any king that would appropriately be called Mighty God. You know, that kind of settles it for me. Or Everlasting Father. I don't know that I would ever know a king that would be known by those terms. So I believe it is talking about a far fulfillment, but it's prophecy. And especially when Isaiah, just two chapters before, talks about this promised virgin that would give birth, and he would give birth to someone that we would be referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. And so you keep those things in line. And I think, sure enough, these names are really names that would be attributed to the Son. But, you know, sometimes people say, well, why so many names in the Bible? I go through the Bible, and there's so many names for God. Why so many names? And I'll tell you why so many names, because one name is not enough. One name is not enough, because once again, it reveals his character's attributes, his nature. One name is not enough. And we forget that they mean something. Like, my name is Carlos. It's kind of funny, because I didn't know what my name meant. And so people say, hey, what does your name mean? So I figure, you know, I'll make it up. And so I tell people it means Mighty Man of God. And people are impressed. They're like, whoa, that's what your name means? I don't know. You know what? Someone looked it up last night after I mentioned that in the first service. And my name basically means that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm fulfilling my name and I never knew about it, right? It's kind of interesting. So I'll take it. And so here Isaiah, he prophesies almost 700 years, not only about maybe potential captivity coming, but also the birth of a son. And so when it comes to this season, we always talk about this season being a time of hope. I hope. But then you kind of hear the messages that go with the season, and you're thinking, well, I thought this season is about gifts, right? Every commercial, it's about gifts, right? Target. I mean, you name it, right? Macy's, I mean, Fred Meyer, every commercial you see talks about hope, but it's about gifts. Well, this season is about a gift, but not about a gift that you're going to find under a tree. So I'm going to look at really three things regarding this season. The first one is I'm going to look at the gift of Christmas. Christmas is about a gift. But the gift is Messiah. The gift is the Son. Once again, it says in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. When it talks about a child is born, he's talking about really Messiah's humanity. He's saying this will be a human child, right? So Jesus was born in human ways. He broke in to our world in very human ways. He experienced the same temptations as we did. Hebrews 4 tells us that. But it says he didn't sin. That's great news. He came and he experienced everything. So that tells me he can relate to you. See, sometimes we think, well, he's God. He can't relate to us. Like I remember when I was growing up, I just thought my folks were so old-fashioned. You know, they're just so old-fashioned. They don't understand. Right? It's a different world. You just don't understand. No, it's every season is the same. Every generation is the same. And so Jesus came and he broke into this world and he lived the way you and I live. And so he can relate to you more than you even know. And so it says a child was born. He was born in very human ways. But then it's interesting. It says unto us a son is given. A son is given. It's kind of interesting. What's he talking about? Well, the Son. He's talking about the second person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Son who has always existed. You know, it's interesting to a lot of people. They think Jesus, you know, just began to exist when he was given birth by Mary. They don't realize that he has always existed from the very beginning. In fact, they think the first time that he's ever visited Earth was when he, you know, popped out, for lack of a better term, right? No, he's visited time and time again. In fact, when you read through the Old Testament, I mean, really, you can, in Genesis, where the creation is occurring, you see him there. You see him visit several times in the Old Testament, and the way you know it is when you see this phrase, the angel of the Lord. Really, that's the pre-incarnate Christ. That's the Son visiting before he had visited in the way that you and I
understand him this morning. And so, in fact, Philippians 2, 6, and 7, and I summarized it for you, talks about he existed in the form of God, talking about from the very beginning. And in fact, it talks about equality with God, because he is God. But then it says he emptied himself. See, that's the way we know him. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. So Jesus came as the Son of God, right, in human flesh, and he conquered sin and he conquered death. So that's great news for you and I, right? And so the Son wasn't really born. The Son has always existed. And that's why it says the Son was given. The Son left heaven. He left the majesty of heaven and he came here and he was given for our benefit. So when you think about gifts, think about the gift that the Father sent on our behalf, because he came to do what you and I couldn't do. If it wasn't for the Son, you and I could not have relationship with the Father. Do you know that? You and I couldn't. We're not good enough. We're not good enough. Not a one is good enough. Even your grandma's not good enough, okay? And my grandma was pretty good, except when she pulled my ears. But other than that, she was a good woman, right? Good Catholic woman. So the first one is the gift of Christmas is Messiah, the Son. The second thing I want to look at and begin to look at the names, the wonder of Christmas. The wonder, it says, his name will be called Wonderful. In your Bible, some Bibles may have Wonderful Counselor as one. Some may have it separated, Wonderful Counselor. What I'm doing today is I'm presenting to you as two different names, but I believe they both go together anyway, right? So it says name will be called Wonderful, Pale. Wonderful means something that's a wonder, something that's like mysterious, something that's like beyond understanding, like wow, like you're in awe of whatever it is. See, because in our day, wonderful is just tossed around. You're like, man, that burrito was wonderful, right? That, what? You know, I'm getting wonderful gas mileage. And yet we're going to use that same word for God. We're going to use that same, no. See, he's talking about something different. Really, this word, this root word was really used for divine purposes, right? So when it talked about wonderful, it was reserved exclusively for the divine one. And the root word says this, it's something that's full of wonder, something that's glorious, something that is exceptional, something that's astonishing, something that's extraordinary, like you're in awe. I see it this way, using my vernacular, something that just blows your mind, like, man, it just blows your mind. That's really what it's talking about, that this Son is going to be one that will blow your mind away. See, and we find that his name again, the name Wonderful, in Judges 13, in the book of Judges, Old Testament book, chapter 13, there's a story really in there and the interaction of Samson's parents with this angel. Right? They realize later on that's the angel of the Lord, that it's the Son. And you see their response after their interaction. But in the interaction, they ask him, what's your name? And they said, we want to know your name so that basically we can worship you. After you tell us that, you know, because he says, hey, you're going to have a kid. They'd been hoping, contending for a kid. He said, you're going to have a kid, but he's going to be special. And this is the way you're going to raise this kid. But they said, well, what's your name? Because we really want to worship you afterwards. And I love that. He says, well, why do you want to know my name? And then he doesn't tell him his name. He says, because my name is to Pele, Wonderful. He says, I could tell you my name, but it'll blow you away. You can't understand my name. In essence, he's saying, you don't have the bandwidth to understand my name if I told you my name. And it'll blow you away. See, so when I read that, I'm thinking, see, I always like to bring it to where I'm at. See, I always like to bring it to one. And I'm like, Lord, how does that look like in our day? And I thought, how about if you're, you know how sometimes you go as a parent, you go to, you know, you interact with other kids, other parents that have kids. And could you imagine if this lady, you know, had, you know, her daughter there and you're like, oh, you know, what's your daughter's name? Her name is Melania. I'm like, oh, that's a different kind of name. Melania? Why'd you name her Melania? And she would say, well, because she's 1,000 years old. You're like, what? Yeah. I mean, you're like, that would blow your mind, especially if it was true. But in essence, that's what the angel of the Lord is saying. I could tell you my name, but you can't handle my name. See, my name's too wonderful. It'll blow you away. You're going to be in awe, right? You're going to be in awe of what I'm going to do. I mean, and that's the way he is. That's the way he is. You know, a family, personal family of ours, this week had just one of those awe moments, like, man, Lord. See, because they were making plans. There was something in their heart that they said, Lord, this is the one thing we really, really want. And so from man's perspective, they say, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. More schooling. This needs to happen. This needs to happen. And if we get lucky, right, if we get lucky, maybe what we want will happen. So they're talking, this is going to take years. This has to line up. That has to line up. That, you know, and if we get what we want, it's going to take some time. Well, you know what? We serve the God of wonder that just blows us away. And so this week, in a matter of hours, bam, 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 everything lined up. They're like, I mean, their response, they started weeping. Like, Lord, how did it happen? In a matter of hours, bam, 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 lined up. Just the thing that you're contending that you know is going to take for years, he does it that quickly. That's what he's talking about. He's the God of wonder. The son that I'm going to give, he's going to be called wonderful because he will blow you away time and time and time again. He will do that. And he wants to do that. He's just looking for people that are going to believe him. It says what he performs, he's going to perform wonders, right? And one of the things that I love more about what the son performs is this, that he makes God comprehensible to me. See, I have a hard time comprehending God, and you probably do. He blows me away, man. I mean, you mentioned Mount Hood. I look at Mount Hood, and I'm like, oh, Lord, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? You know? And there's even greater things that he's done. When we took a trip up to Alaska, you think Mount Hood's impressive? Go to Alaska. I'm like, oh, it's all around you. Beautiful. I'm like, how'd you do it, Lord? He likes us to have that wonder. Right? He likes it. You see, because in this season, we sometimes lose that wonder. We lose that wonder, and we get what I call crusty heart syndrome. Anybody besides me gets crusty heart syndrome, right? Just living down here, you just get jaded. It's possible, because I've lived it several times, it's possible that you get through the Christmas season, and you're like, what was that all about? That's crusty heart syndrome. Right? Like, yeah, you gave people gifts and you got gifts, and it's like, and, you know, you put the tree away and you're putting, if you live in our household, you're putting bin after bin away. Right? And you're like, whoa, what was that all about? Sorry to use you for my sermon illustration, but and it was like, what was that all about? See, you can miss the point along the way. So I've recently decided, I'm thinking, you know, I've told the family and everybody else, I don't want any gifts for Christmas. I really don't. I don't want any gifts at all, just so you know. Unless the Lord tells you to give me a Ferrari, obey him, okay? You know, obey him. I don't want to steal your joy, right? I don't want to steal your joy. Other than that, I don't want anything. See, because I've got what it was all about. I got the gift. I got the one that I'm in awe of him every day. Literally every day he blows me away. Every day he blows me away. That's what I love about your story. When you tell me your story, it blows me away. Right? I was talking, can I use you as an example, Tabitha? I was talking to your good friend, Alana. And I was telling her, I said, you know, basically I'm saying, doesn't it blow you away that Tabitha is going to Haiti? That's what I'm talking about. Like, wow, God, you're a God of wonder. I would have never seen it. No, I'm not talking bad about you, but isn't that a God thing? Yeah, it is a God thing. Especially when you were telling me, it's been interesting. She's, you know how when we talk to God, we're like, God, you're asking me to go to Haiti? And she's like, you know, that's like out of my comfort zone. Lord, I'll only go if this person goes, and this person goes, and this person goes, and this person goes. So guess what? This person, she told, yeah, I'm going. This person, yeah, I'm going. This person, yeah, I'm going. Yeah, I'm going. She's like, well, Lord, I only go if this person goes. And then she sees on Facebook, this person's going. Oh, I got no excuse. I mean, isn't that the God of wonder? I mean, that's what I hope this new season is for you. That you, yeah, give gifts, great. But understand that there's the greatest gift that was ever given and the one that will bring wonder to you every day if you're open to it. So indeed, Christmas is about the gift. Christmas is also about the wonderful one. right? Who makes God comprehensible, who brings salvation, who gives eternal hope because he himself is eternal. And then the third thing really that it talks about is his name will be called Wonderful, and then also Counselor, right? Counselor, Yoatz, right? One who advises, one who consults, one who gives counsel, one who decides or devises the plan. That's really was used of like kings would have counselors. They would have wise men as part of their circle of influence. They would go in and inquire. But he's saying this is even greater than that. You know, when we talk about counselors, we're talking about people that we go to and we kind of tell them our problem, right? Well, he's talking about a wonderful counselor. He guides people into the deep things of God, right? It says this in Colossians 2:3. He says, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge of life. So he says, if you want to know the true meaning of life, you go to Jesus because he knows. He's the one that planned life for you. And so while it's good to go to counselors, you got to go to this counselor. I'll tell you why. If you go to a counselor, and I love counselors. In fact, I send people to counselors. If you go to a counselor, the counselor will sit you down and he'll say, tell me about you. Tell me about what's going on. See, this counselor, you don't need to tell him anything. He knows you. He knows what's in you. Right? He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what the issue is. He knows what the brokenness is inside you. In fact, he knows when it began. He knows when you believed the lie. He knows that. If you ask him, Lord, when did it start? And he'll take you back to the moment that you believed the lie. Oh, I'm not the smartest one in my family. Okay. And because you believe that lie, it became a stronghold, and now it's got you now. Well, when you believe the lie that I'm not real loved. My brothers were loved. My sister was loved, but I just was the one that just, you know, wasn't loved in the family. I was the ignored one. And you believe that lie, and now you're searching for love in all the wrong places because there's this hole there. And you can go to the counselor, and he knows the brokenness. But I tell you what, he has the ability and the power to heal that brokenness. So my encouragement is that you spend time going to the counselor. In fact, as a church, we teach you that. That's why we do what we call SOAPs, our journaling, our time in studying the Word of God. We do that every day. And I do that because I'm trying to get you to Jesus every day, not to me. I can't do anything for you. I mentioned yesterday that I'm about to talk myself out of a job here. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you something, and then 2 seconds later, I want you to forget what I just told you. Are you ready? So the deal, I'm going to tell you something, but I want you 2 seconds later to forget it. And here it is. Don't come to me for something, because I got nothing to give you. See, I if you come to me and you say there's a brokenness, I'm gonna send you to Jesus. If you come to me and say there's a brokenness, I'm gonna send you to His Word because only He can heal you from within. I can't. I don't have any magic fairy dust. I ran out. Okay. I don't have any, but Jesus does. He does. He can fix whatever is wrong with you. I just talked myself out of a job. Like, so why am I even here then? Because you need me to encourage you. You need me to lift you up. You need me to hold you accountable. You need me to teach you. But understand this, I'll always lead you to Jesus. I'll never tie you to myself. I wouldn't even go see myself. That's how bad it is, right? And there's two of me, hey, sit across from myself. Hey, help me here. No, I go to Jesus. Amen. I go to Jesus because I got to be honest with you, no pastor ever changed my life. No teacher ever changed my life. Jesus changed my life. I remember my mom wanted to take credit one time because when I was being raised, she would say, you'll be dead by 21 because I was kind of a violent young guy. And she, I'm like, what kind of thing to say about your kid? You'll be dead by 21. But then after I got saved and this and that, and the Lord began to do all kinds of work, whenever I'd be with my mom and her friends, my mom would kind of like want to take credit about how good I am now. Like, wait a minute, Mom, that wasn't you. That was Jesus. I had to tell Mom, I had to straighten up Mom. Mom, you were awesome, but it was Jesus that gets the credit, right? Not you, Mom. Although she did keep me out of jail. But, Okay, now you can forget what I told you, okay? Because I want you to come back. See, everybody that had an encounter with Jesus, right, was never the same. So again, he sees right at the heart, and he knows the issues. He knows the issues. And just the way he even approaches, the way he does things. Remember the woman caught in adultery? I mean, Scripture talks about really the act of adultery. I mean, she was busted. I'm thinking, how do you catch someone, you know? Were they peeping, right? But they bring her to Jesus. I mean, she's in handcuffs in the back of a police car, right? I mean, busted. And they're waiting for Jesus to give the okay to stone her. All right, let's have the trial right now and the execution right now. Jesus didn't do that. We know what he did, and really what he's doing, he's ministering to her heart. Sometimes we think it was about him. No, it's about her. Right? He's ministering to her heart. And then when he does that, then he tells her, go and sin no more. So that's what he does. He comes and he'll minister to us. He hits the target every time. So go talk to him about you, and he'll hit the target every time. And he'll heal you up. And then he'll say, go and sin no more. You know, a word was given when we were worshiping, and I think it's an appropriate word. And the word was this. It was a picture of people trying to stay above water in stagnant water, right? Just kind of trying to keep their head in stagnant water. And really the Lord was saying, well, stagnant water will always stay stagnant unless you allow fresh water in. And really that's what the Lord would say today. Some of us, we've spent a lot of effort treading in stagnant water. And what the Lord would say to you is this, let me in. Let me be able to bring my fresh water, which is really the Holy Spirit, and let me get some of that stagnant stuff. And part of that is when he says, do something different than you've been doing. Do something different, you know. And that's when you let the fresh water in. My encouragement to you is that indeed you spend some time with him every day. So Jesus is really the source of supernatural wisdom. He's different than anybody else. In fact, John 7:46, even the preachers of his day said this about Jesus. Even his enemies says this, no one ever spoke like this man. I'm like, my gosh. And you got to understand, the best preachers were in Jesus' day. And even they said, man, there's something, there's an authority on him. There's an anointing on him that's not nobody else. That's why I'm going to send you to him. He'll give you the wisdom. He might take you to his word. Maybe he'll give it to you in prayer. It's Holy Spirit. Sometimes he'll even use someone like me to encourage you. Okay? John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, right? You can come to me. If you want to know the truth about what's broken on inside you, I'm the counselor. I'm the one that will give you the kind of counsel that will forever change you. See, that's the difference. I know Jesus. I've come to him with stuff that I've struggled for years, and that quickly it falls off me. And then I tell myself, why didn't I do this years ago? Why didn't I come to him about this thing years ago? Because when he deals with something, it's a done deal. Now I can go back and enslave myself. I can go back and check myself into the jail again if I want to. But when he's healed me, when he's taken it off of me, I'm done. My job is then to maintain that freedom. So I want to close with this, just kind of bring something up. How many of you think, if you have kids, that when it's time to take the tree down, when it's time to take all the decorations down, if there's still one gift under the tree that's unopened, what do you think a kid will ask to do? Open it, unwrap it. He don't care that it belongs to somebody. He's like, I want to open it, because he wants to open it so he can interact with it. Right? He wants to open it so he can play with it every day. That's what's going on in a kid's mind. He would never leave a gift unwrapped. Well, you know what? There's a gift that was given to us, and you and I need to be like children, that we don't leave it unwrapped. In fact, we unwrap it every morning. We unwrap it every afternoon or every evening, whatever, that we might interact with that gift. And I tell you what, if we interact with that gift, we will forever be changed. And our Christmas will forever be different, because we understand the true meaning of Christmas. Amen? Amen. Everybody up. Let's do some worship, man. Do some worship. Oh, we're going to do some communion. Oops. Thank you.